Hey, you're listening to the Speaking of Music podcast.
Hey guys!
We're back!
And we are so excited to talk about Midnight's 3 a.m. Because it's Midnight's Deluxe, let's be real.
Yeah, she just was quirky and decided to call it the 3 a.m. edition because when it was released, when the original 13 tracks were released at midnight on the day it was released, and then she was like, guys, I have a surprise for you at 3 a.m.
Which was so random because now it's no longer midnight's. It's midnight's 3 a.m. and it's like, that's not midnight anymore. It's 3 a.m.
I saw
like,
on Twitter.
What do you mean midnight's 3 a.m. edition? Pick one or the other.
I saw on Twitter I saw someone say, I need you guys to know that when I say midnight's, I mean midnight's 3 a.m. Like, I don't mean the original 13. I mean, but like, same. When I refer to the album as midnight's, I mean including the 7 extra tracks that we're going to talk about.
I think most people do. Yeah. The thing is, it's 7 extra tracks. Like, that's, and she did it on the same day as the album was released. So it's like, is it even a deluxe? Like, it's just the whole album at this point.
Yeah. Fun fact, guys. I woke up at 2:59 to go pee the day this was released. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's like 3 a.m. And she said she was going to release something at 3 a.m. So I just, like, opened my phone to see what it was. And I was like, girl, not 7 more tracks to listen to at 5 in the morning.
Yeah. This is so
like,
wrong.
Be real right now.
Anyways, there's some real hidden treasures in the 3 a.m. edition. And we are going to get started with our rankings. In that case, I'll go first. Yeah.
Okay, girl.
All right.
I think I go first a lot because I'm always like, I'll go first.
Okay, well, Sophia's going to go first.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so my rankings are Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, The Great War, High Infidelity, Bigger Than the Whole Sky, Paris, Glitch, and Dear Reader.
My rankings are Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, The Great War, High Infidelity, Bigger Than the Whole Sky, Dear Reader, Paris, and Glitch.
And my rankings are Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, The Great War, Bigger Than the Whole Sky, High Infidelity, Paris, Dear Reader, and Glitch.
Right, so I think we should, are we going in order?
Yes, we will go in order, and that means we will start with The Great War.
I love The Great War.
Yeah, I love it so much too.
Let's be so real right now, like, this is Evermore.
Yeah, it's the Evermore track on Midnight's, yeah.
It has Evermore written all over it, which makes me so excited because Evermore is my favorite Taylor Swift album. And I had this, like, running theory that Taylor had been getting better with every single one of her albums. And then once Evermore happened, I was like, this is it. Like, it's over. Like, she is never going to be topping Evermore. And I was right. Unless something else comes out in the future and completely, you know, dethrones it, but I don't think it will. And The Great War proves that, you know, the Evermore-esque essence lives on and will forever be supreme to me.
I agree. I think that this was a very interesting way to start the extra tracks because I listened to all of them, like, straight through the first time that I listened to the album.
Yeah, so you didn't stay up until midnight like a loser. Sorry.
Yeah, neither did I.
Sorry, I wanted my sleep schedule.
Literally.
Also,
but anyways, when this came off of Mastermind, because that was the last track of the original 13, I feel like the lyrics already gave such a different vibe. Like, it felt like there was a little switch happening, because the way that these lyrics are written are, like Sophia said, a little more to the Evermore side of her writing than the original 13 were.
Yeah. There's a lot to love about this song. I think the production is really spot on and everything kind of ties up really nicely. I think one of my favorite lyrics is the first line of the chorus, all that bloodshed, crimson clover. I love the way she says it. I love the way she spaces the words out. And then
the ahas give the yeah, oh yes in Lavender Haze. Those two give the same energy to me and they just make me feel that same way. Like, you just feels complete to hear it in the song.
Yeah, and I just think that this was such a well-produced, just such a good, I don't know, I feel like it tied up a lot of loose ends in a way in my brain.
No, I agree. And I think that there's a lot of ways you can interpret the Great War, like the metaphor of the song, but I like how it still ties back to the whole love aspect that she talks about on Midnight's. Like, a lot of the lyrics in the song were like, my hand was the one you reached for all throughout the Great War, like you were there for me even when I was going through these questionable, tough times.
Yeah. Okay, that's a thought. I wanted to counter that. Like, I don't think that they survived the Great War, POV. I think this, like, ends in heartbreak, does it not? Because, like, think about it. Like, the Great War was, like, World War One, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a World War Two. So is she, like, I, like, thought that alluded to the fact that, like, I vowed I would always be yours because we survived the Great War. Like, nothing would ever be bigger than mm-hmm. this. And then something was bigger, and then...
I'm sure.
No more.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I got out of this. Also because, I don't know, she's talking in, like, past tense. Like, oh, I vowed I would always be yours. It always seemed kind of ominous to me.
Perhaps it's just disguised over a perky beat.
Okay. Also, Aaron Dessner effect with the 3 a.m.s.
Oh, sure.
I loved people on the internet were like, I'm so glad he's gone. Like, he was so boring and annoying. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, he was literally yeah. so amazing. And then he was like, everything is not what it seems. Bam! At 3 a.m., everyone was like, not again. But not me. I love him. Yes.
I think we got a lovely little touch of... It made the 3 a.m. tracks a little spicy, a little... different.
Spicy. I know you did not just call him spicy, Victoria.
Okay.
That is not very nice. Let's be civil here.
You're calling him spicy? The white man.
Whoa, he can be spicy if he wants to.
Exactly.
How do you know that? I know.
Don't judge.
I know in my head, in my life.
Okay, we're going to move on to the second of the 3M tracks.
Second, two of seven.
Two of seven. Number two of seven. It's bigger than the whole sky. I just have to say, when this came on after the Great War, I feel like that effect was
you and
astounding.
I talked about this.
The way that this song talks about like the aftermath of something monumental in someone's life. It just felt so like purposeful. Which it was, that it came right after the Great War, and it felt very impactful.
And this felt more like folklorian, I think.
Folklorian.
Kind of a counterpart to the Great War. I liked how they, I mean, Victoria said, I liked how they kind of worded each other one after the other. And I think it was just the best possible decision to follow up the Great War, because it definitely told a story in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say... when I first listened to this song, like, I looked at the track list, I listened to Minette's 3 a.m., like, in the morning after, because I went to bed. I was not waiting for the 3 a.m. surprise, because I assumed it was going to be a merch drop, and I was like, this is ridiculous. And then, like, at the end of the chorus, it was like, I'm never going to meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. And I was like, is this would have, could have, should have? And I had to, like, check it.
Yeah, I did too.
I was like, this is not it.
It was a little too early in the morning for me. But yeah, I was definitely a little confused about that.
For some reason, I thought when I saw the title, Bigger Than the Whole Sky, that this was going to be a happy track and not a sad track. I don't know why. But when this song came on and you get those, like, really, like, melancholy instrumentals, I was like, what is happening here? I wanted something happy, which we get to later in this seven tracks, but this one definitely had a very heavy undertone.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about Paris,
which is definitely fun and upbeat.
It is a lot of fun.
This song grew on me. I swear to God, the first time I listened to it, I was like, okay. No. It's like a fun love song, but the more I listened to it, I was like, that pre-chorus gets me every time.
Oh yeah, okay. My favorite lyrics from the entire album, actually no, some of my favorite lyrics from the entire album are on this song, even though I've rated this song like so low on my rankings. Just like Victoria said, the pre-chorus of this song is unbelievable. I'm so in love that I might stop breathing. Drew a map on your bedroom ceiling?
Okay, we're getting to my ick.
That's yeah. your ick?
No, that's not my ick. My ick is because we were somewhere
else. Oh, yeah.
Else. I hate
the because we were somewhere else.
Yeah, I absolutely despise the way she breaks up the words somewhere else and then how she rhymes it with Paris.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know where she was going with it. But Paris is such a fun song. So when I was listening to it, I was really excited because there was two really slow songs. And I was like, then Paris made me like excited and I was like vibing. And then she was like, Paris, we were somewhere else. And I was like, oh, God.
She really thought we would have noticed that. Just snuck it in there.
Yeah, no. And then she kept repeating it. I was like, you're really trying to drill it in that it doesn't rhyme.
No, literally. That and also the fact that the Chainsmokers have a song called Paris are the two reasons why this is not that high on my rankings.
I wish I could put it higher, though, because it's all of the lyrics are just so fun, and I feel like they just pop into my head at random points in time, and I remember how, like, nice this song is.
Yeah.
My favorite lyric in the pre-chorus is cheap wine make-believe is champagne.
Mm-hmm. That's good. The first line though gets me good. I'm so in love that I might stop breathing.
Let's talk about her unhingedness. I'm gonna brainwash you into loving me forever. I was on the internet because when am I not? I was on Twitter and someone
when
was
are
like,
you not?
Yeah. My favorite, someone was like, my favorite part of any Taylor Swift song is that random unhinged lyric.
I saw that. Like, oh my God.
I saw it. I did not just it. My chronic onlineness. Like, Victoria saw it too.
I just think that this song was really, really fun. And I think that, as I think for most of the 3 a.m. tracks, like, I understand why she pulled these tracks aside, because I think if you were trying to put these tracks like into the original 13, it would be like a little weird. Hard to find a right fit. But
also, let's be so for real right now, she just wanted 13 tracks because 13.
Yeah,
it's true.
But I think the High Infidelity, it also gives Evermore in a way, and
it does.
I just think like the reason she left out most of the tracks is because they didn't quite fit the Midnight's like vibe, the new like midnight pop production.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you know, her like return to the pop seemed so like violently, and these weren't as like,
no, I think I can see that, but it's still questionable.
Yeah.
But I can see how they're not exactly aligned with the rest of the track.
High Infidelity was, I remember me and Anisha, we were like, this sounds interesting. This is one that we looked at the title and we're like, that's very, very interesting, because I don't know, the phrase, like, high infidelity.
There's like a play on words. It's like high fidelity, but it's infidelity because she's cheating and there's high stakes.
Thanks good for job. That.
Thanks for breaking that down.
Okay. I like some of the play on words that happens in the song. I think some of these lyrics are like smart, like simply smart though. Like, they're not complicated.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I was trying to find an example, but like.
Okay, wait, I think I know what you're saying. I think what Victoria means, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that she likes the way the lyrics are broken down into simple little phrases, lock broken, slur spoken, wound open, and they're just random little words, but they all kind of come together when she says, I didn't know you were keeping count, you know, of all the wrongdoings and the missteps and every little mistake, and how it all kind of like builds up into this like big secret.
Right.
I also think that there's a double meaning for sure in high infidelity, because a lot of people say it's about like her masters getting like, you know, not having the rights to her masters and like her re-recording them almost and like taking them back. And
I thought people were saying this was about the Tom Calvin thing.
People were saying
that's
that.
What I
yeah, that's
there's two. There's two different ones.
Oh, I didn't hear the theory about it being about like her master being stolen.
I think it is. I think there's definitely a truth to it, because you could see it like put on your records and regret me. Because now they're
big. But I like how she says regret
me. Regret me. The regrets.
I like it.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the song is what Genius labels as the refrain, but it's where we get the lyric, do you really want to know where I was April 29th?
Which obviously stemmed a TikTok trend of people showing where they were April 29th.
I know.
I was in Aruba.
Oh my God.
Wow.
The 1989 Curls girl, she was like, I met Taylor on April 29th. This is fate. Like, this is fate that we're meant to be together. I was like, girl, be so real right now.
No. Okay.
But I actually like her. She's funny.
Yeah. But I like the rest of the refrain too, where it goes, "Do I really have to chart the constellations in his eyes? You know, there's many different ways that you can kill the one you love, and the slowest way is never loving them enough."
That's so fun. Well, let's move on to definitely a song that is a little bit more fun. So this is definitely a more fun track, and it's more upbeat.
This song definitely was one where I if like the production was like a physical thing, I would have given it like a little side eye. Like that's what I felt when I first listened to the song. I was like, girl.
I don't know. I feel like you're being a little harsh. I think that where this song leaves something to be desired is like, it doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, I think that the verses are just like,
they're a little wonky.
Yeah, they're just so
mid. The second verse though. I was supposed to sweat you out in search of glorious happenings of happenstance on someone else's playground, but it's been 2,190 days of our love blackout. I like that verse.
What I'm thinking, it's like, that was so random. Like, the rest of the song is so, like, poppin' fun, and then she goes into this whole, like, lyrical, like, explosion, and it's just, it doesn't fit. But then I really like the chorus. I think it's like, oh, I think there's been a glitch. Like, I think that, you know, there's been a glitch in the matrix, guys.
I just think the whole thing was so mid. Like, the concept was like,
I think the biggest issue I had with it is what you guys were saying about how it didn't go anywhere. Also, like, I was waiting for it to go somewhere, and it just repeated the chorus again.
The verses feel like she's running towards something, and then the chorus is just like,
it goes glitch.
I think the chorus is fun.
I like the part where she goes glitch. I was like, girl. Like, it keeps me on my toes a little.
I would have liked it better if the chorus belonged to a different song. That's literally it. Also, you know, I like when she goes, "It must be counterfeit." That's so cute.
Nah. I think we just like the word counterfeit.
Yeah.
I like it too. It's fine.
I like the word counterfeit.
It makes me think of... Well, let's talk about would've, could've, should've now. Which is so bomb.
Okay, well, what Sophia...
She dropped a bomb.
What Sophia is trying to say is that I think when the fans were listening through these seven tracks that... this was the one that stood out the most, that people latched onto the most. So I think that because this song had a very specific meaning, people really decided to be on top of this one. Not that it was a bad thing, because the song is lyrically and sonically very well put together.
I really like the metaphors that she uses here. Just starting off so strong. If you would have blinked, then I would have looked away at the first glance. I personally just love that kind of comparison that she draws. Like, if you would have shown any indication, like anything, I would have stepped away. But the whole fact that she's like, oh, you gave me something to hold on to. Like, that is shown really, really clearly there.
Yeah. And the best, like, if you tasted poison, you could have spit me out.
Like, you could have if you wanted to.
If you wanted to. Because I think that the idea of this is, it's drawing such a strong image. Like, if you had any indication that I was not mature enough for you, or this was wrong on any kind of level, like, if you had insinuated that in any way, like, I would have walked away so fast. But, oh, you told me everything was, like, sunshine and rainbows and perfect, and you made me feel like that for a while. And now, looking back, I realize how disgusting that is.
Yeah, and then she just accentuates that even more with the, I would have stayed on my knees, and I damn sure never would have danced with the devil
at 19.
Right.
Which I think on my knees is like a really interesting way to put it. Because right. Like on my knees, like praying. Like there like shouldn't be good. Anything wrong with that statement. But then she goes, I never would have danced with the devil. And like, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it could take on a lot of different meanings. And I think it could take on kind of like a begging type of meaning. It could take on, you know, something more. Yeah. And then it could also be like a symbol of her innocence or her purity.
And yeah. I think that's really interesting because there's so much like holy, there's so much like spiritual like stuff going mm-hmm. on in the chorus. There's so many things. She mentions God, she mentions the devil, she mentions praying ghosts. In a way, ghosts, and how like memories kind of like play into all of that and her spirituality and how it kind of just like ruined her perception of the world, which is I think like dealing with like religion is almost like similar to that in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course we can't talk about the song without talking about the bridge,
mm-hmm.
where this song had a proper build up, where it just like you just slam right into that bridge and it just hits the whole time, where it goes, "God rest my soul, I miss who I used to be. The tomb won't close. Stained glass windows in my mind. I regret you all the time.
I regret you all the time." And like when you listen to this song and she says, "I was 19 and Taylor's 33 now.
Mm-hmm.
19. I regret you all the time to this day. There's no, oh, but I learned and I grew. Like,
no.
This was just bad, all around bad. She continues with the whole idea of spirituality when she says, "You're a crisis of my faith." You know, stained glass windows are definitely like church. They give the vibes of a church, you know, fighting in her sleep, waiting for signs. All of this is so like convoluted almost. Like she's not referencing one specific religion. She's referencing so many religious and spiritual imageries, and it's so like, it's almost muddy. It's like you don't really know what she's talking about, but quite tortuous, perhaps. Get out.
No, but yeah, there's a lot going on in the bridge, and my absolute favorite lyric of the song is just the way and the passion in which she delivers that "I can't let this go." Like she flat out just says it. Like all metaphors aside, she kind of like plays with this idea of not being able to let go of this, you know, thing that happened in her life. But I love how she just flat out says it in the bridge. "I can't let this go. I fight with you in my sleep."
It's, yeah, especially when she adds in, like, after the chorus, she adds in, like, this third type of verse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she says, "And you know, living for the thrill of hitting you where it hurts, give me back my girlhood, it was mine first." And if that does, and the way she says that, she's almost, like, screaming.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still, like, it's girlish the way she says it. It's,
yeah,
like,
it feels almost childish a little bit.
Yeah, she's the way she said, like, give it back. It was mine first. You,
yeah,
know, like when you're a kid and you don't know how to share. I also like one more thought because I have so much to say about this song and I love it so much. I think it's really interesting how she portrays like the meat. I think to me, this third verse is like, why won't this die? Why can't people move on from it? You know, because if she's trying to move on and she can't, but neither can the rest of the world almost. She feels as if the rest of the world isn't moving on either. And she says, "It's been years of tearing down our banners and hitting, like living for the thrill of hitting you where it hurts." So it's been years of all this like media speculation and trying to like get the last word in. But then at the end, all she wants is her innocence back. And that's something that she can never have.
Yeah. And I think that I saw a lot of people saying this is a very powerful song, and a lot of people were like, well, why wasn't this on the original 13 tracks? Like, why did she save it? And I think I understand where she was coming from, because if she had put this on the original 13, people would have focused solely on this one track and the implications of what she was saying, that they would forget about all the other things that she was talking about in the rest of the album, which was more the past.
Did I already say one last thought?
Yes.
Well, we're gonna have one more last thought. I think no, it was tacking on to what Victoria was saying about like people focusing solely on would have, could have, should have.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would forget that Midnights is supposed to be a concept album, and they would focus too much on like how this song is so deeply rooted in reality and like,
mm-hmm.
like a moment in time that most people, if you know a lot about Taylor, you can like pick it out. And I think she wanted the Midnights as a whole to be kind of ambiguous and have multiple meanings. And to me, at least, this song pretty much has one clear meaning, and she knows that. And we all know that. And also, most people who are like, you know, just listening to Taylor casually, they won't go so far as to listening to her like deluxe album, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be her original set of songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay, and that brings us to the last track on the 3 a.m. edition, and that is Dear Reader. I have kind of like a thing with the phrase Dear Reader.
I hate it.
I don't like it.
I hate it.
Because it just, the like the concept of an author writing a note to the reader and being like, dear reader, here's all the things that I want you to know before or after you experience my works. I don't know. It feels, the phrase on its own is a little weird to me.
But it feels cute almost. Like, oh, like, thank you for making it all the way through. And I mean all the way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Through all of the tracks. And she's like, well, now that you've made it through, like, this is what I want to tell you. And this is what I really want to leave you with. So I think it, in that sense, it works. I just think this song is, like, to put it plainly, I think this song is slow moving. And I think that it has a lot of really good elements if you pick them out individually. But then when you listen to the song as a whole, I just have this overwhelming urge to skip it. Like, I'm like, I can't do this right now. But no, I can never do it.
I have that same thing as Sophia does, that when this song comes on, and it has, like, a kind of a long intro where it just, like, slowly, like, gets into the production of the song. And sometimes I just don't want to have to wait for that intro go all the way through.
You know how Spotify, like, now has the lyrics and you can just click and it'll bring you something? Yeah. I scroll all the way to the second, so the second chorus right before, so I wander through
the bridge.
Nights.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is all I want to hear right
because
now.
Because the bridge, I think, is the saving grace of the song. I think it's, okay, it doesn't, like, save the song, but I think it's the best part. Because the lyrics, like, pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, I don't know, you get a little more energy.
That being said, I do like the chorus just being never take advice from someone who's falling apart, and the way she stretches it out is just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think she does a really good job with that.
And
the production I like there too.
I also like the implication of that chorus, like, never take advice, like the whole dear reader, never take advice from someone who's falling apart.
Which low-key translates to never take advice from me, but
yeah,
she's also giving the advice. So
yeah,
like,
she's saying, what are you guys doing listening to me after all these years? But she knows that we're not going to stop listening.
Okay. I think you guys were a little harsh about the whole hating the Dear Reader thing. Because to me, like, the title of Dear Reader, and this is just, I don't know why, but this is the first thing I thought of. Like, Dear Reader as the title felt very, like, Charlotte Bronte, like, kind of like Reader, I Married Him type of thing. And I just thought that was really cute. Like, I liked it.
Okay,
I
think it's
classic literature.
I think it's cute. But I personally have an issue with the phrasing. But I do actually genuinely like the concept that she was getting at here with, you can see it in the outro too. I do like the outro where it says, you should find another guiding light, but I shine so bright. So it's basically, she's saying, why are you guys still following me? But also, I'm a star. I understand why you guys are following me. And I think that's
I'm a star.
And I think that's very, like, self-aware of her to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess it's fine. I like Dear Reader. I like all of the songs. I just think sometimes I have to skip it, okay? That's all. That's kind of rough. That's kind of mean, I'll admit. But you know what? I'm not holding back. You know, I want to be honest. Anyway, with that, I'm honestly going to wrap up this episode.
That was awful. Who gave you the permission to do that?
Her brain.
My brain.
No.
My brain is a powerful place.
Sometimes it needs to be, like, a restraint.
Powerful place. Okay, anyway, thank you guys all so, so much for listening. Feel free to reach out to us with any suggestions. We are totally taking this podcast into a new direction this year.
Please reach out to us. We love chatting with you guys. Our Instagram is at the Speaking of Music Podcast.
And our TikTok is at Speaking of Music Podcast. So make sure to go follow both of those for all of the latest updates. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Bye! Bye.